Thank you, Audrey. It's a long chapter. There's a lot in here. I can preach about 5 sermons from this passage, but don't worry. It's going to be a normal size length sermon. But before we get into it, can we pray and just trust God to help us? Lord, we come to you knowing that your word is alive. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is alive in us, and when we read your word, helps us to understand and to learn and to grow. I pray that tonight that will happen with us and to us, Lord, that you would grow us in our understanding of who you are and of what we should be like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Natasha and I got married 19 years ago, I didn't know a lot about my wife. I didn't know much about women in general, I have to confess. It was a foreign to me. I know girls at school, but they're different. And so let's just put it mildly, I made some stupid mistakes. I messed up in ways you cannot imagine because I didn't understand my wife. I didn't understand what she was like. I didn't understand her needs. Of course, if you ask her tonight, she will tell you that I'm much better. Ne, lovey? Yes. You're in church. You can't lie. And I've learned so much about her. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to get to know someone. And then you can just be yourself. You know, the wonderful thing of being loved, guys, for those of you who are single, is when you find love, that they love you even if they know you. Isn't that the coolest thing ever, married people? That Natasha knows me and she still loves me. Can you believe it? That's wonderful. I can be myself. I can speak to her because I know her. She knows me. So I think we must always try to get to know God better. In our walk, in our relationship with Him, we should always try to learn more about who God is, what He is like, what He loves, what He hates, and see how we can serve Him better. And I think in Exodus tonight, I want to point out a few things. The first thing I want to point out is God's transcendence. God's transcendence. Now, if you were Moses and you've been through what you've been through, and then suddenly you see this bush burning and God suddenly speaks to you, if I was Moses, I would ask, why now? Where were you? You know, this is a bit too late, God. I've already messed up. I've already left Egypt. Why now? Why only now? And again, we have to point out that God's timing is perfect. God knew what He was doing, and even though Moses might have thought that this was weird timing, bad timing, it was good timing because God was busy working His plan. Human beings have been trying to define God for millennia, trying to put God, a label on God. But the fact is that human beings cannot define God. He's beyond our understanding. And even if you know and understand the whole Bible, if you knew every verse and if you knew the exact meaning of every verse, even then you would still be far off from understanding the fullness of God. But God has revealed enough about Himself in the Bible, praise God, for us to get to know Him and to learn what we should be like and how we should worship Him. You know, at our house, Natasha marks everything. Our kids' toys are labeled. This is this kind of guns. We've got a box at home labeled guns, yes. Toy guns, not real guns. Then we've got a box with McDonald's toys. McDonald's toys. Anybody relate to McDonald's toys? There's a box for McDonald's toys. And then there's a box for this and that. Everything is labeled. So that's the idea behind it. The kids don't respect that label, though. They chuck in there what they want. And tonight, I want us to just think about God and how we label Him, and how difficult it is to define Him. I think what is evident in these verses is that God defines Himself. And I think that's good. Let God define God. because no one else is qualified to do it. I mean, the world's tried to define God, and actually it doesn't matter what they think about God, because God's identity is not influenced or affected by what people think. God will remain God. Now, when you introduce yourself, when you meet new people for the first time, how do you introduce yourself? Usually, it's, hi, I'm Lucky. And the other person, hi, I'm Cranker. Well, how's it, Cranker? And we introduce ourselves by our name. And here in Exodus 3, we find God introducing himself, God using his personal name to just tell Moses who he is. God says to Moses, verse 14, I am who I am. And that's God's name. Tell them, I am sent you. Now, it's just me, or is this a bit weird? Just the way God introduces himself, I am. Because usually when people would say, I am a mother, I am an engineer, I am whatever, you fill the blank. But God says, I am what I am. I am who I am. Because God is in a different category altogether. He transcends everything. All our labels we have is inappropriate. Because he's above all things. You can't put God in a box. I think it's amazing that God doesn't say, I am this. He says, I am. Or I want to be this. Or I maybe am this. He is. I am what I am. And you know, I have this image of people choosing names for babies. You ever seen these baby name books? I mean, those books are funny, man. You should one day just pick one up to read for comedy. The names in there is never, oh, stupid one. You know, or, yeah, you, names that really suck, let's just say it. There's always, the name has the meaning of, oh, beautiful, wise one. Or the lovely one. Or the precious one. Or conqueror of all nations. You know, names like that. But you never find names that you try and avoid. God introduces himself as Yahweh, I am who I am. And this is such a pinnacle point in history when a human being asked God for his name and God answered. Now, this is not in the Bible, but I like to imagine in that moment when Moses asked, who shall I say send him? What's your name, God? I like to imagine that there was silence in heaven. I think Moses' heart was racing because God was going to tell his name. And then God doesn't disappoint. I am who I am. And I can hear the angels roaring, and I can hear them worshiping God because we have heard God's name. The sound of his name causes us to worship. God has spoken. God has revealed himself. We know who God is. Do you know how important and vital that is? We know who God is. He is Yahweh, the great I am. We know because he has spoken. God is revealing that I am what I've always been. I never change. I will remain the same in the future because I am the future. I do not change because I'm unaffected by circumstances. I cannot change because I'm perfect. I am. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Guys, God is the same God. The same God that spoke to Moses is the same God we worship tonight. So God tells Moses to tell the people that I will bring them out and we will go to this promised land. And then Pharaoh, you have to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Your people will listen to you. The Hebrews will listen to you, but Pharaoh won't listen to you. And I'll send these terrible plagues to cause them to let you go. And what we see here is actually a war, a fight between the king of Egypt, I am Pharaoh, versus the great I am. And there's a war between the most powerful man on earth with the greatest army on earth, reigning over the greatest nation on earth to that point. Standing against the great I am, the God of the universe. It was the wannabe, I wanna be against the I am. God is all powerful. He's majestic, and he destroys the king of Egypt. What God had said to Moses happened. We know the story. Everything God said to Moses in Exodus 3 happened. It happened because the great I am said so. Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God proves true. Every word. The reason God can tell Moses what will happen in the future is not because God had a crystal ball. And it's not because God can see the future. Not even close. It's because he's already there. I am is beyond time and space. I am wrote the plan. So that's why I am can tell you what will happen. And let me remind you tonight that God is beyond what we can think or imagine. So we can take God by his word. And when you read something in the Bible, you can believe it. Because I am has spoken. When God says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, no temptation has overtaken you, that it is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. We must believe that, because it's a spoken word from I am. Not I may, not or maybe I am. There's no doubt we can believe him. But God isn't just transcendent. We're going to look at God's immanence. God's immanence. And this just means that God is with us. That God is with us. This mighty transcending God has come down. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, there's a lot of false religions in this world that believe in the transcendence of their God. Their God is transcendent, but not immanent. And other false gods, people say, this God is immanent, but he's not transcendent. And I think it's very important to understand that God is both transcendent and immanent. If God was just transcendent, then he is somewhere high where no one can ever reach him. He can do awesome things, but we cannot see him, we cannot hear him, and he doesn't know, and he can't come down to help. Because I think if you look at verse 7 in chapter 3, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of the people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. If you were here this morning, you know God knows. And this is important, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God has come down. That's what this immanence means. God is just not just transcendent, because then, he's this God that is all powerful and doesn't care, doesn't worry about who you are and what you are dealing with. What is going on here is that we need to realize the importance of this, because if you see that God is not transcendent, one of these people that call God their homeboy or your chummy, then you know that you do not believe in a transcendence of God, because God is beyond that. He should be feared. but also as people who are so scared of God because they do not believe in His eminence, and the world is going down the drains, and we panic, and we do not think that He will come down to help us. So when you get this, I really think it addresses all that you will face in life. You have a crisis, God cares enough to come down. And because He's transcendent, He has the power to do something about it. So God is transcendent. We know that we've spoken about God's immanence, the fact that He cares. And I think this morning's sermon was about that, so I don't want to go into that too deeply. But the third point is the question I want to ask you tonight, is who are you then? In the light of what we've heard, who are you? So Moses asked God for His name and His identity, and then God sends Moses on this mission, and it's a tough mission because God says, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. This guy that tried to kill you doesn't like you. There's probably some, step family issues there from the past. And it's going to be uncomfortable, and he's going to resist. There's going to be, I'm going to have to sort him out. And it doesn't seem like mission, I look forward to this. It sounds like mission impossible. And Moses' answer in verse 11 is Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? It's a question about identity. And I think it's a question we still struggle with today, maybe even more than ever. There's a lot of lies we believe when it comes to who we are and what we are able to do. And I want to mention a few of them today, a few of these lies. First lie I think that confuses us is I'm in control. Last Sunday evening I spoke about this. But if you didn't know this already, you're not in control. God is in control. And if your identity is settled in you being in control, you're going to be one miserable, frustrated, anxious individual. If you don't believe me, here's the challenge. You try and be in full control. Just try and control everything in your life. And then come tell me how that went down. The only thing that will go down is you, because you are not in control. The second lie I want to unmask tonight is that I am what I do, or I am what I own. You know, what's going on here, it's a thing about your self-worth. What's going on in your heart? Am I measuring my self-worth, a value as a human being, in what I have, in what I do, in terms of what I do? Just think about this for a second. If you were to do that, if you were to measure your value as a human being to in terms of what you do, what happens when you retire? If you've got a job, what happens when you retire? You have no identity, if that's your identity. Because we know whenever we leave, I'm going to miss you guys terribly in April. I really am. But you're going to forget about me. Soon enough, there's going to be another guy, and we'll move on, won't we? And I'm not going to think about you all the time like I do now. That's how much I love you, man. And so if you are what you own, then you've become a slave to the system. You're just a slave of the system. Because let's face it, there's a lot you don't have. I don't know about you. There's a lot I don't have. Every time I watch TV, there's adverts that remind me that there's lots of things I don't have. And there's always going to be someone with more and with better stuff than you. And so you'll never be happy. Never be satisfied. If I don't drive that particular car or live in Silver Lakes, then I'm a loser. I'm a failure. And what will probably happen because you think that way is you'll probably end up in debt because you want to be that, so you'll borrow money just to have that car, to live in that place, and you'll end off in a crisis. We're not what we have. We're not what we do. The third and last thing I just want to unmask is the lie that I deserve more. The lie that I deserve more. You know, it's cool with all the kids. You get these medals for participation. Now listen, yeah. I love kids. I love my own kids dearly. But I just think that's wrong, man. You didn't win anything, but congratulations. We want to make you happy anyway. Because does life work that way? No matter what you do, you always win. Does it work that way? Adults, no. It doesn't work that way. You don't win if you lose. Or you didn't quite pass this exam, but hey, we don't want you to feel bad, so go ahead, move to the next grade. No. Yeah, I was reading an article a while back where there was a kid that did something terrible at school and he was suspended and there was hearings going on. And you know what they called this child, this naughty, evil child? They wrote in the paper, "We are going to help him with his behavioral disability." What? See, isn't that crazy, behavioral disability? He doesn't have a disability. He's naughty. He's evil. He's a sinner. Sort him out. There's no disability there. The problem I have with things like this is that we start to believe that life should be easier. And that we'll always receive good things, even if we don't deserve it. But life doesn't work that way. People have a sense of entitlement that's not realistic and certainly not biblical. And it's easy to sit here tonight and say, these people, shame. They believe these lies. What about you? I tell you now, every one of these lies, we fall for. Not they, we. We just had Human Rights Day this week. I love holidays. It's a great country to live in. Yeah, man, we take it. But I tell you now, human rights as defined by the world is one of the great evils of this world. Now, noted what I said, as defined by this world, human rights. We've got so many rights these days. I deserve this, I deserve that. There's no such thing. You know, some people say, give your heart to Jesus and your dreams will come true. No. That's not how it works. Give your heart to Jesus and serve Him because He is God. He is the great I Am. So if these are your identities, you'll spend the rest of your life serving these identities. That's what you'll do. That will be who you are. What does God answer Moses when he says, "Who am I?" Verse 12. He said, "But I will be with you." God didn't say, "Wait, man, you're a capable guy, Moses. You've got this." No, he said, "I will be with you because your best is not good enough, but I am good enough. And I will help you. I will guide you." You should, and I want you to listen to this, you should base your sense of self on God. We must find our confidence and worth in knowing that we are His children. You know when little kids talk about their dads? "My dad is stronger than your dad." "No, my dad, your dad can lift up a car. My dad can lift up a house." You remember that kind of talking with kids? You know, I was nervous about my kids because they're going to get me into trouble. You know, they tell this big muscle builder, you know, guy at school, "My dad will beat you up." And then this guy comes to me and I'm like, "Hey, whose son is this?" But if we know who our Father is, we kind of know who we are. It gives us an identity. And instead of finding our identity in all these things that are worthless and fade, Let's find our identity in God. He is with us, and because of his transcendence and his eminence, he can protect and will provide us with enough that we need till we get to heaven. I heard this great illustration that I want to quote about this, that God is with us, and because we are with him, we get the benefits of his kingdom. If you went to, Petrus, if you went to Buckingham Palace, where Queen Elizabeth in England, and you pitched there and you said, "How's it? My name is Petrus. I want to just check out the palace and maybe just meet the Queen quickly. Maybe there's some secret rooms you can show me." What would they tell old Petrus here? I mean, Petrus is a nice guy. I would let him in. But they're going to tell you, access denied. We don't know who you are. Dude, probably you get arrested. You think when Kate Middleton, the young teenage girl Kate Middleton, went to the palace and she said, "Please, can I come in?" They would have said, "Who are you, little girl?" Shoo. Access denied. But then she married William. Do I have this right, by the way? Just point out if I miss it. William, I see the heads are shaking. That's good. So she married Prince William. And now she gets to the gate and she says, "Can I come in? Can I maybe see the place and see the Queen?" And they ask her, "But who are you?" She just says, "I'm with him," pointing to Prince William. Being with him has moved Kate from access denied to full access. Every door is open to her. And so it is with Christians. We are the bride of Christ, and we are with him. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In Jesus, we have full access. Romans 8, we know the verse 38 and 39. "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation," it's a big mouthful of all the worst things that can happen to us, "will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." None of these things can separate us from the identity we have in Christ Jesus, from the love we have in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we are with him. We are with the great I am. What's important is not who you are, but who you're with. Who you're with. Now, you get people who like to drop names, you know. Like they know someone famous, they will just, you know, "I know so and so." And then they try and impress people by that. And often we as Christians are shy when we talk about God. Isn't that? Sometimes you're embarrassed. I want to talk about Christian things. These people, who's God? No, I want to tell you tonight, we serve the great I am. And we mustn't be fearful or embarrassed to talk to him. So if your identity is based on anything else except God, you're in sinking sand. One thing I think we've learned last week is that even if we are the most talented person around, and we probably aren't, we're all average, but even if we were superhuman strength, we had superhuman strength and we could do all kinds of things, whatever we are, our best is not good enough, not even close. But that's okay, because God is enough and I am with him. And he is the great I am. I want to close tonight. John 8, verse 56 to 58. Now, I love the Bible. I love the Bible because remember now, Exodus 3, verse 14. Moses asked God, "What's your name?" And God says, "I am the great I am." No, not the great I am who I am. We find this Jesus says, your father rejoiced that he would see my day. This is now your father Abraham. He saw it and he was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, now listen to this. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now did you pick that up? It should have read, before Abraham was, I was. That's the right way to say it. But Jesus was intentional about what he said. I am. And by the way, if you look in the book of John, you find a lot of these, where Jesus repeats that that I am. We serve a God that is just amazing. But it's also a God that comes down to us. Now, like Moses, we have a mission. We all have a mission from God that he wants us to fulfill. But we can have faith that we serve a God who's transcendent and who's imminent. And that means that because he is the great I am, I have my identity in him, and therefore I can do whatever he calls me to do. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Man, God is strong enough to help all of us. Whatever you are about to face, whatever you're facing now, just remember who your God is. The great I am. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight and just, there's so much in these verses, Father, we can talk about. But just the fact that you have revealed yourself to us is so special, Father, that we can know you. Thank you for sending Jesus and teaching us even more about what you are like, that we can read and see what God does and how he reacts with people. And Lord, help us never to doubt you. Sometimes we confess that we are confused, and like Moses, we doubt ourselves. But Lord, remind us constantly that our identity should never be in who we are, but in who you are and who we are in you. And thank you for that, for the privilege, Lord, to be part of your family, that we can call you Father and know that you have come down to be with us. Do that for us, Lord. Even in this week, may we experience God coming down and helping us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.